It's one of my favorite things to do. Can I take my shirt?
My jacket.
Not my shirt. I won't. Fights there is against the family of the church that tries to cause disunity and tries to break the cord that we have. The other thing is family. And you're going to do everything that you can to try to separate. That you can be alone, that you can feel like you have no strength, no power. We have power together. We have strength together. Until you're alone by yourself, you don't realize it. But when you come together in oneness, my heart is in the family. My heart is that we raise our children in the house of God. We teach our children to worship God. We teach our children to sit in the house of God and participate in the presence of God. Presence of God, the awness of God, the wonderment of God that you let yourself be open to, that you become a doorway to let in what God wants to give you. It's a great, unbelievable time that we have right here together. We come together and we lay aside everything else and we just open ourselves up. And I believe that it's so important for family to come together in unity and oneness. Tonight, we have a young baby named Luna. Luna Rain. If you could all come to the family, come on up here. Come on, I want all the family. Come on, all the family, come up here. We're blessed to have Pastor Alonso and his family here tonight. Come on, amen. Come on, give them a welcome. Amen. Brother of the Lord, an encouragement to me. I want something from his heart to share tonight too. As we begin to go, I looked on my phone something. I thought this was pretty cool. The word Luna is moon. You know that. If you didn't know that. But it's significant. Significance of the new moon celebration in the Word of God. The word new moon in Hebrew is Rosh Chodesh. Literally means beginning. It means renewal. The beginning of the heavenly month. It is the time of spiritual renewal. And God spoke to my heart today. I want you to know that this is a new beginning for you too. This is a new beginning. This is a new moon. Hallelujah. A harvest has come upon you and your family, amen, to receive it, that is going to bring this oneness and this strength that you can have outside of this. That God is using Luna in your lives because he is a gift, hallelujah. She is a gift from heaven given to you to cherish and hold with heaven. Father sent you. And we cherish this gift. And all that she has to bring, as much as you know you're thinking of something to give her, she's giving you more. She's giving you more. She's going to teach you how to be a father. And as that, you begin to realize that the only way you know how to be a father is to look to the one good father. And you've seen that the word power to do that, to be able to be the parents that God's intended us to be. We failed without it. It's hard. Come on, parents. It's hard. It's not always easy. I can't do it in my own strength. I need God. And God wants to empower you. God wants to strengthen you. He's given you a gift, and he wants to give you all that he has to be there for her in her life. So your hearts be open and willing to receive all that God has. Tonight, I want to read some things that just a desire to, in your heart, is that you set a pledge to declare that this is what I desire to do. If so, I want you, after each one, I want you to agree with me. Jeremiah 1:4-5 says that he knew from the beginning. He's created all things for him. Do you you today recognize this child as a gift of God? Do you now dedicate your child to the Lord who gave her to you, surrendering all worldly claims upon her life in hope that she will bring holy to God, that she will belong holy to God? Do you pledge as a parent that with God's fatherly help, you will bring up your child in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, making every responsible effort with patience and love to build the Word of God, the character of Christ, and the joy of the Lord into her life? Do you promise to provide through God's blessing for the physical, emotional, intellectual, and spiritual needs of your child, looking to your own Heavenly Father for the wisdom and the love and the strength to serve them and not to leave them? Do you promise God's helping you to make it your regular prayer that by God's grace your child will come to trust in Jesus alone for her forgiveness of sins and for the fulfillment of all His promises to her, even eternal life, and in this faith in Jesus Christ and obey His word?
Amen. All right, the
dismissed now. Amen. So you don't have the scriptures up there, but you're going to trust me that I have them. Amen. Listen, tonight I really felt this. I felt like there was an attack. You know, sometimes there's moments where that. I think sometimes there's moments that we become vulnerable. I don't know, it's seasons, and there's seasons where you become vulnerable to sometimes even the gloominess, the weather. And sometimes you let your guard down. Sometimes we let our guard down. Sometimes we don't pay attention, and we're not keen to things. And I just felt this in my spirit. I felt like there was a real just an attack. Whether it's on families, whether it's emotional, whether it's depression, whatever that thing might be. But I'm here to tell you and encourage you tonight that we're not going to let anything steal our joy. Come on, tell someone. I'm not going to let anybody steal my joy. Amen?
Amen.
Say nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. The Word of God in James 4:17 or 4:7 says this: submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I'm going to say it again. Submit yourself, therefore, under the hand of God. That we submit. That word means to come under. Amen? To come under. I want you to know that this is what happens. That we come under the authority, come on, of God. We don't do this on our own, that we're not called to face the enemy alone, but I want you to know that there's a declaration here that we submit ourselves under the hand of God, amen? You submit yourself, that you come to the place of surrender in our hearts, that we say, God, Lord, I can't face this alone. But I want you to know that here's the thing, though, the enemy wants you to run, but here's what we're to do. We're called to submit ourselves to God, and the enemy will flee from us. But what happens is, whenever we're faced with conflict or whatever things in front of us, amen, we run. Come on, amen. It's a natural thing when you're hurt, when something hits you, when you're overcome by something, the first thing that you do is run. It's a natural, it's a fleshly instinct that we have within us to turn and run in the midst of crisis. Whatever things are coming up against us, we run. But God has declared to us is to submit to Him. And when we submit to Him, amen, that the enemy will flee from us. He will run. Hallelujah. I'm not meant to run. Hallelujah. I am not meant. It's not built in my spiritual nature to run. Hallelujah. But to face them. Hallelujah. And to let God overcome the situation. So tonight I want to share with you. I want you to be on God. I want you to stand. I want you to walk out of this place with victory. Amen. I want you to walk into this new year understanding the victory we have and what God has given to us that we're to walk out with. Amen. And we can see in the scriptures, we can see there was a man of God that faced a conflict in his life, and he didn't do it the right way at first. And I want to share with you, sometimes we don't do it the right way. Come on, amen. Help me tonight. 1 Kings. This man, his name was Elijah. Elijah. 1 Kings 19. We know the story. But we understand, I want you to know that Elijah has just faced an amazing victory. He called down fire from heaven. He put all of his faith in his heavenly Father. I want you to see this and know there was 850 enemies of God standing on that hill. And he was by himself with just his servants. Standing on that hill But he was dependent on God. He wasn't dependent upon himself, but he put it out there. Come on, amen. That he put it out there. He let everything go. And at that moment, he called upon his God. And God answered. And 850 of prophets of Baal were consumed at that moment. So I just want you to get a picture and understand that sometimes we go up with victories in our lives, and we also come back down. I want you to know that we have to be prepared to understand that sometimes when these things go up so high, that we know that life doesn't always go that way. Because someone's going to kick you. You're going to face a situation in your life. Come on. Bad weather is coming. It's inevitable. We're not prophesying it, but it just comes. Come on. Things happen in life. Your computer breaks. Did you ever have some of that? Come on. Your kids don't act the right way sometimes. They don't respond the way that you think they should. Come on, church members don't always respond the way they should. Or parents or friends or in your work, it didn't happen the way that you thought it would happen. And sometimes we go up and sometimes we come down. But I want you to know that we need to learn to maintain a balance and walk with God with a balance. Whether it's good or whether it's bad, I'm going to worship God. So Elijah was facing something. He had this, it was like that moment I say this, that he had the wind behind him. His cape was flying. He was on a spiritual high. Have you ever been there? Come on. When you just, man, you're just knocking out. You feel, man, just feel the power of God. You got K-Love on and you're just, woo, come on. And something comes along to steal your joy. You start off with good intentions. You leave here Saturday night, you're ready to go. But Sunday morning, something arises. Something comes your way. I want you to know that we need to prepare our hearts. We need to pay attention that the same God, hallelujah, that gave you the victory to cause that your cape to fly and win is the same God that will be with you when it's deflated.
Amen.
So here he was. Here he's at this moment, and he's excited about this. But I want you to know that something's in his mind thinking that his heart was to see people repent and change their ways. He was hoping that Ahab might turn his ways, but he ran to his wife and he told his wife what happened. And then here comes Killjoy. Here's this moment where that you're ready to go, but then all of a sudden you get news back to you, and in one moment, this guy seemed fire fall from heaven, but in one moment, change. And it says, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and with how he had slain the prophets with the sword, 850. Then Jezebel sent a message unto Elijah. He said unto him, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them tomorrow about this time. Listen, I want you to see that at that moment something takes place. At that moment is the moment right there that we have to pay attention when you are first faced with difficulties. It is that split second what you do. What do you do in that moment? How do you respond? I want you to know the first thing that happens, we begin to submerge ourselves in what was said. We begin to soak it in. We begin to take in the negative that was told. But I want you to know the first thing that we need to do is what the scripture in James says. Submit yourself under the hand of God. Not to that word, but what we do is submit to that negative word that came our way, that negative situation that came to disrupt, hallelujah, the flow that God has you, the way that God has you, to detour you, to get you off track of God's will in your life and your purpose. Say, not me.
Not me.
Oh, say it like you mean it. Not me.
Not me.
We declare it. I want you to see here. And it says, tomorrow. I want you to know the enemy will always do this. He will cause you to think about tomorrow. He will always try to get you to think about your past, to take you back of why you failed before, why you fail again. He tries to get you to tomorrow where the things and situations you have no control of, but he tries to get you to think about it, and it consumes your time, your energy, and your strength to focus on it. And at that moment, he began to think about tomorrow. Tomorrow about this time. But I want you to know, we're not called to have tomorrow faith. We're called to have now faith. Say now faith.
Now faith.
Now faith. Faith now. I'm to have faith right now, at this moment. I want you to know that God declares to me that He is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd tomorrow. No. The Lord is my shepherd last week. I know He was. But I want you to know He says, the Lord is my shepherd now. That we can rely and understand that He's my shepherd when?
Now.
He's with me now. So I want you to focus and see this. And it says, so this moment He was disrupted. This was this great man, Elijah, really. He was taken off track of the purpose that God had for him. The victories that were before him. I want you to know the enemy wants to get you off track of what God has for you. The calling that God has in your life. To derail you. To cause you not to see what God has for you. The purpose and the plans and the promises. To see them come true in our lives daily. For you to have joy. For you to have peace. To disrupt that. For a wrench in it. So it says, and it says, and when he saw that, he arose. He didn't submit to the mighty hand of God. The God that he called and never failed him. And fire came down from heaven. It says that he ran for his life. And he came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. I want you to focus and see this, that he went to Judah. Come on, say praise.
Praise.
He went to Judah, the place that declares praise. I want you to know that he showed up at that place. This is a perfect opportunity. I want you to know that God's with us, leading us. And no matter what, whether or not you want to go with him or not, I want you to know that God's always providing a place for you. Hallelujah. A place for you. For victory for your life. He brought him to that place. He was at that place of Judah. He was escaping. And even on his way there, he stumbled into a place called Judah. Opportunity. Say opportunity. I want you to know that we need to see the signs. We need to see these things. We need to have our hearts open to realize that God provides for us opportunities. Places to be awakened. You know, your worship awakens you. It causes you to realize that He's a big God. It causes you to submit yourself to the mighty hand of God. When you're worshiping God and you're declaring with your heart, you can't do anything else but think, you're good, good Father. Truly you are. Who you are. Something inside you says, yeah, He is. Even though it looks horrible out here, you're a good, good Father. When He walks into the room, everything trembles. The presence of God is there. That you're aware of it. We're not moved. Hallelujah. What's the ISAC's Wednesday night? What's the opposite of faith? It's sight. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Things not seen. Not seen. It's not what I see with my natural eyes. But the faith that I have within me that secures me, that holds me down, that bows me down, that I stand upon in Him. Not what I see with my natural eyes. Because they will deceive me. They will cause me to run. I can't stand and see that. But I have to have faith and understanding that He's God. And praise and worship brings you back to that moment for God to release into you the power that you need and equip to run, to fill your energy up. Come on, amen. We need filled up sometimes, amen. We go without worship, we go without praise. It'll cause you to become stagnant, but there's a release that comes out of your life. It's so important. You understand that? We know that. So I want you to know the first thing he abandoned was praise and worship. Man, I thought about someone that. Listen to this. This is what it does to you. Come on, you got a minute? All right, thanks. Listen to this. And Mary, after, it says, for with God, He was declared to Mary, with God, all things are possible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto thee according to the word. And the angel departed from her, according to the word that's in you. At that moment, I want you to know that she received the word and said, all things are possible. I don't know how this will happen. I'm going to birth God's child. It's an overwhelming task. Sometimes I want you to know at that moment, this young girl, how old she was, 14, 15, whatever it was. I want you to know that something inside of that flesh would tell her, run. Because everybody's going to think that you're giving this out of wedlock. Everybody's going to understand that it's God. Yeah, it's a, I'm bearing the Son of God. But that was the task of authority. I want to know, this is how she faced it. This is where she went. And it says that Mary arose those days and she went to the hill country in haste into the city of Judah without haste. She went to Judah. She went to a place called praise. To settle what was in the promise that God gave her. I want you to know that you cannot abandon that. You can't run from the promises that God has. Don't run in that moment. When you know you have a word within you, don't run from that moment, but run to praise. Take hold of praise. Don't make haste. Don't wait for yourself to fill up and to submerge into doubt and fear, but only overwhelmed by worship and declaring who your God is. And that's what happened to Mary. She went to a place called Judah, and she met her sister, her cousin, and entered into the house of Zacchaeus and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. That's what praise will do to you. It'll cause what's within you to leap. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody needs something to leap in you. Amen. Come on, amen. We need to have the Spirit of God leap within us, kick us sometimes, and let us know He's here. And worship stirs that up within us. Worship stirs that up. I can't help it. Sometimes I just want to run. I look funny at me, but I just, because why? Because that baby stirred up inside me. The presence of God stirred up within us, and that's what worship does. But Elijah left worship. And then he did another bad thing, and this is what we can't do. Hang on. Okay. It says, and he left his servant behind. That one that was left. Listen, I want you to hear this. This is the one thing that we can't do. Is leave the ones that are loving behind. I want you to know that sometimes when you're fearful and you're doubtful and you feel like everything's against you, you want to run from those that love you. I know when I was facing, I felt like everything was against me. The first thing I did was left home. I ran away. I left home, didn't run away. I just said, I'm leaving. I want you to know when I began to find myself alone and on the other side of the state, I want you to know what I experienced was loneliness, brokenness. I was disconnected from those that loved me. Ain't nobody loved me where I was at. Not like them. They were called to love me. You need to find those people that love you, that are loyal to you. Don't turn away. Don't run from them. But embrace them. Because God will use them to lift up your hands when you can't worship. To help you lift up your hands when you feel like running. They'll cheer you on. You got this, baby. You got this. That enemy's going to flee from you. You're not going to fail. But you're going to overcome. Victory, hallelujah. Victory is yours, say the Lord. Someone will prophesy over you. This is what he saw. It says, and when he saw, when he arose and went for his life, he came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left the servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, left alone. That's the worst thing that we need to do, is to be alone. The Bible talks about being alone. That when you fall into a ditch, you have nobody to pick you up. Nobody to lift your body. You got a Facebook about it. But he himself went a day's journey. He went, what did he do? By himself. He went by himself. Alone. The enemy wants to get you alone. He wants to cause you to be by yourself. That the only thing that you hear is your own voice. The advice of your own self, of your own flesh. And he says, and I want you to know the only thing that going alone does, it brings you into a wilderness. It brought him into a wilderness. It led him, he wasn't Judah, but he came into wilderness. That That's what being alone does. That's what worship without worship does. It brings you to a wilderness place, a place that's dry. A place that's dry. We have to be so dependent on our worship to God. Amen? Being alone and no worship brings a wilderness. Isaiah 40. I'm going to read that scripture real quick. Y'all good? Listen, he says, in the voice of him that cries in the wilderness, this is the only way out of the wilderness. I'm not going to stand here and say that I've not found myself in a wilderness season. Because I have. We all do sometimes. We dry moments. So when we do get there, what do we do? This is what he declares. And he says, and the voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for God. This is the way I am. Be a voice. Let your voice be declared in the wilderness, in that dry place. And he says, every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough plains, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. That needs to be a declaration in our hearts in those moments. We need to have our voice. We need to declare in the midst of desert places, in those places we need to declare, God, I declare that this hill place becomes flat. Hallelujah. That this valley, this mountain that I face becomes flat. That this dry place becomes overflowing with your presence and your anointing upon my life. That we declare it. Worship will bring you out of it. It takes your voice to declare it. To speak it over yourself. Oh, you know, sometimes we wait for somebody to get us out of that place. But there comes a place where, guess what? You got to declare it in that moment. Can you hear it? I'm not taking my shirt off. As hot as I am. I do this for you. Thank you. Listen, let me get through this. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down. He was wore out. He was tired. And he said he came to a juniper tree. And it says, and he came and he says he collapsed. He requested for himself to die. And he was so tired that he wanted to die. Ever felt that way? He said to himself, it's enough. I can't take it no more. Come on, somebody say, I can't take it no more. That's sometimes what we say. I can't take this no more. Come on. I can't handle this no more. Then you go to that place, you'll find yourself at the place that he was at a juniper tree. I want you to know a couple times it declares that he was at a juniper tree. Why can't you just say tree? But you know what this tree is? It's in a desert place, and it's a place of refreshing. I want you to know that he is my shepherd, whether I like it or not.
Amen.
He is God, hallelujah, whether I believe it in the moment or not. He's still there, hallelujah. He's not far away, hallelujah, but he's right in the midst. Come on. He's right in the midst of the storm, of the tragedy, and he's waiting for you to submit, hallelujah, to his hand, and then let the devil flee. He's waiting for you to open up the door. Over every moment, every shadow, every time, God's a stopper. Doesn't sound reverent, but does it? Trust me. Every time I run from God, he's always there. He's really good at hide and seek. Amen? We keep sitting under that place. It's a place to produce. It declares that it's a place to produce. Say produce. I want you to know that this is powerful because he says, I want to take my life. But yet while he's declaring that, here he is in a place that causes you to produce life. Because it's the only source in the midst of that desert that's there. And he's sleeping under it. Under that place. Right there in the midst. God's with him. And it says that a place to produce. I want you to hear this and understand and know that He says that he's more important. Your life is worth more than you know. You're too valuable to God. He said, take my life. You are called to produce. You are too valuable. It's costing everything for you. You are worth too much to him. I want you to hear this. Come on. You're worth too much. It's at that moment that you've got to realize that you're worth too much. He's right there. He's right there, David. He's right there. He's right there. It might not seem like it. It might not feel like it sometimes, but he's right there waiting for you. You have too much to go anywhere. You're worth too much to him. You're valuable to God. He's got too much invested in you. Tell your neighbor, you got too much invested in you. Oh, some of you wouldn't look at each other and say it. Come on, tell someone, he's got too much invested in you. Whether you like it or not, some of you don't like to hear that, but I'm telling you, you might be sitting under a juniper tree. You're in a place to produce. And he said, he touched him. He says, arise and eat. God's providing all the time. Sometimes you don't realize it because he ate what God provided. God will provide for you whether or not he will give you provision. And you don't even realize that he's giving you that provision. I ran from God. I've been in places where that I just didn't want to hear from God. And God still provided for me because I was too valuable to him. Because he loved me so much. I want you to know that it caused me to run to God when I realized that. It caused me to get up. I want you to know that he began to eat. He was having provision given to him. Whether you know it or not, there's people out there, I want you to hear, there's people that don't love God, that don't want God, and God still provides. It rains on the just and the unjust alike. His love is still for them as much as it is for you. The broken, the discarded, the ones that curse God, curse you, run from God, don't want nothing to do with God. God loves them. They're sitting under a juniper tree, whether they like it or not. I want you to see people that way. They just haven't realized how valuable they are, what they are worth to God. Come on, we'll stop pushing here. Amen. And he looked and he beheld there was a cake. He ate the cake. There's a lot to go into that, but I'm not. And he says, when he woke up, it was at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came for the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because your journey is too great for you. And he says, he arose and he did eat and he drank and he went in strength of the meat for 40 days and 40 nights. This is the God, hallelujah, that created every day, every moment. He says, I want you to walk and begin to walk in this, hallelujah, in who I am. Just walk this out. Begin to walk towards me. You might not feel like it. You might not have any strength in yourself. But I want you to know, I'll provide for you. I just want you to walk towards me. Amen. I want you to run from me. Come on, amen. I want you to walk towards me. I want you to come towards me. Walk after me. Begin to move towards me. Find a way to move towards God in the midst of your tragedy, your circumstance. Don't run from God. Come on, amen. Don't run from God. Because you'll be overcome too quick, too fast, and don't realize it. That you're so far from God that you don't even want him. Get to that place. Just keep moving towards God. Tell your neighbor, move to God. Just move towards God. Move to the voice that you know. Maybe you can't hear for yourself. Find somebody that will lift up their hands and help you worship God. Call somebody and say, come on over, I just need you to help me worship. Come on. It says, 40 days, 40 nights, and he came to a cave and he lodged there. Listen to this. Behold, the word of the Lord came unto him. Listen. Sometimes we're called to have a word in season. But even if you don't got a word, God will bring a word. There's been times in my life, in moments in my life, that I didn't have a word. But as I pursued after God, God brought me a word. He gave me a word. I didn't know what to say. I've been in places and preached, stood up there and said, man, I have no idea what I'm going to say. My wife had more faith. I said, well, you don't have to go up there and say that. Thanks, babe. But really, she does it, babe. Know that there's something. And in the moment you get out there, all of a sudden, you have something to say. You have a word to say. How did I get there? How did that happen? So here he was. He didn't have nothing to say. He didn't have nothing in him. God brought a word. A word came to him. Because why? He was moving towards God. And even though he was in a cave, he was in a place of desperation. Come on, amen. Caves don't always look that good. They're surrounded by rocks. They're dark. They're damp. They raise mushrooms in them. You guys know the rest of the story. You know what they feed them?
Yep.
Horse manure to keep them in the dark. Do whatever you want. Behold, the word of the Lord came to him. He says, what dost thou? And this question's been asked. What are you doing here, Elijah? Calls my name. I want you to hear this and understand. He says that God's calling us right here, right now. In the moment you're at, wherever you're at, God says to us, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? And I'm going to get back to that real quick, but listen. And it says, and he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord thy God, and the children of Israel have forsaken the covenant. He's on the rant here. Hang on. He says, and thrown down, he's angry, he's mad, and slain the prophets of the Lord. You're running from Jezebel. Don't act, he sometimes in his mom, I would do this for you. I came to church and worship for you. They've thrown down their altar, they're saying, and I, say I. Even I, only I, am left to seek, and that they seek my life to take away. He said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. Go stand on the mountain. Go get up there. You're sitting in a cave. Go get up there. Listen to this. It says, and the Lord passed by, and behold, a great strong wind rent the mountains and broke it, the rocks, and shook things. And he says, and the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. Every one of those are things that are different that he experienced in his life. Fire from heaven, all those different things in his life. But I want you to know that he's still inside the cave. I want you to know that, listen, I want you to hear this. Sometimes we're waiting for God to get our attention with something big. Churches are waiting for revivals. They're waiting for all these different things to take place, for a great earthquake and all these different things to shake us up. But I want you to know that this is the same God, come on, amen, then as he is now. And all those things are great. Those things are awesome. Those things get you rocked. I've been healed, come on, amen. But I want you to know it wasn't the healing that caused me to run after God. It wasn't the provisions that caused me to run after God, to be in love with. That's not what caused me. Those are things that he given to me. Those things that are in the process of walking with that I receive after the fact. But those things are things that everybody, Jesus did miracles, saved people, caused people that are blind to see, and only few standing before him at the cross. They see earthquakes and fire, all this stuff. But it didn't change him. But here's what changes you. Then there was a still small voice. And that word still small, it's actually silence. The depth of the silence that comes upon you. That it says that it caused him to get up. The earthquake didn't get him up. The fire didn't get him up. Come on, the shaking, the wind didn't get him out of that place. But I tell you what brought him out of that place was the stillness and the glory of God, the presence of God, the moment that he was awakened and quickened. Who was before him? That moment that was within inside you to cause you to be in awe. It's nothing that he did, it's who he was that caused him to get up out of that place. That love and that still small voice drew him from that place of just recognizing in faith, you're God. You've never failed me. You've not forsaken me. You're God. Sometimes there's moments that happen to jar us back to that moment. Sometimes there's earthquakes. Sometimes there's different things that we face in our lives But I want you to know it's that moment when you stop yourself at that moment, when all that stuff's going on, stop and listen and open yourself up and let the consciousness of God, let the God speak to your consciousness and awaken you. Come on, amen. To speak to your heart, to find yourself in a place where you're silent. You stop talking. Stop listening to Jezebel. Stop listening to those voices, all that fear that's trying to overtake you and overwhelm you. Just stop. Wait on God. Recognize He's God. He says, he said, go forth, he says, and stand upon it. He says, and then after the earthquake fire, he says, a small voice, and it was so that Elijah heard it, and he wrapped his face in his mantle. He was overtaken by the presence of God. And he says, and he went out. He said, he went out and stood in the entrance of the cave, and behold, there came a voice unto him. And here it is again. He didn't answer you the first time. What are you doing here, Elijah? Listen to me. I want you to hear this. God's always with us. Listen, I want you to know this. No matter what you're going through, I want you to know that He's always with you. But what we do depends on victory. Elijah got up where he was at, out of that cave. The only voice that he heard was himself. He got out of that place of that darkness. He got up. Tell somebody, get up.
Get up.
And he got up out of that place, and he says he began to move out. He got up out of it, and all of a sudden he heard the voice of God. What are you doing here? And I want you to hear this and recognize this. And he says, what are you doing here? Because are you here to receive what I have? Are you here to get victory? Are we here tonight because we recognize that our God is almighty? That He's victorious? That He doesn't fail? That He's a good God? Are we at that place where we recognize a place of surrender? What am I doing here? Am I going to walk in the victory that God has given me? Am I going to walk out? Am I going to move beyond this moment? Am I going to be on this? Or am I going to run? Am I going to keep running? I want you to know that we can't run from our troubles anymore. Come on, amen. We can't run from those things. But we got to stand in the victory and know, what am I doing here? Because if you want to know what you're doing here, I'm going to give you strength, Elijah. Because if you're here for me, if you're here right here tonight, if you're here for me, if you desire to have what I want to give you tonight, right now tonight, I'm going to give it to you. But you make that choice. You choose. You say, God, well, I choose. God, I'm here, brother, because God, I want what you have. I want what you have. I'm tired of what I have. I'm coming here as an exchange, right here, right now, to exchange what I have for what you have. And what you have is good. What you have is good. So that's when he decided. He got to that place. And he did go for a rant for a moment. It's okay, because God will hear you. He thought it was going to be a different way. Do you know that sometimes the things that we do, sometimes we think it was going to turn out a different way, and the enemy will stand there and tell you, see, God wasn't there for you. I want you to know that, listen, God had a plan. And it wasn't the same as Elijah's, because he thought, man, Jezebel might repent. God sees things before we do. Jezebel, Ahab might repent. I'm going to leave her to you. That happened. But it didn't mean it was a victory. See, because he was sad. He felt like he failed. He felt like he didn't do justice for what God had. He says, I'm the only one. But by the time it got done at the end, he said, Elijah, I want you to know something. There's 7,000 prophets that haven't bowed or kissed the feet of Baal. They worship me. I want you to know that those 7,000 people were affected by one man. See, that one guy gave them strength in a place where they went worshiping God. Everybody was against them. They're worshiping Baal. There was hundreds and thousands of people. That's what that was trying to take over. But there were 7,000 that Elijah didn't know about. I want you to know, it's not by sight, but by faith. Trust in God and know got this. I don't know how it's going to work out, but I trust you. And God began to perceive Paul's plan. He says, this is what I'm saying. This is how you're going to get victory. I want you to go and anoint the king, Hazel. I want you to go and I want you to go get a mentor. I want you to get a disciple. How many times have we been talking about this? Listen, I want you to know, to keep you encouraged, to keep you accountable, to keep you moving with God in your faith, cause you to get in the Word, you need to disciple somebody. You need to get somebody on your side, someone with you to encourage, to talk about Jesus to, someone to praise with, someone to lift up their arms. It's not just about you, because you'll find yourself in places of defeat, but you need to find somebody to hold on to their hand. We're going to get through this thing together. We're going to run with God. We're not going to be weary. We will walk in our faith. But the Lord is with me. Would you stand with me? So I want you, this song we did, this song's really been on my heart, and I just want you to just shout out for a moment, amen. Just let God speak to your heart. We take time to do that. Nothing's more important than that. I don't know the specific situations, but I know that the enemy has attacked you. I know you face struggles. I know there's things that have come against you. But I'm here to tell you, hallelujah, your God's got this. Come on, I'm going to say it again. You guys got this. And when you feel like you're surrounded, when you feel like you have no hope, I want you to be reminded by this song. When I'm surrounded, I feel like I'm surrounded. God's got me surrounded. Hallelujah. I'm surrounded by one who's greater than me. Hallelujah. I might be frail, I might be weak, but my God's stronger. My God's more mighty. And with God, all things are possible. I just want you just to take time right now, just to listen to your shouts.
Lift up my hands, receive it. Amen.
come in tonight, Lord God, Lord, as you set before us, God, the opportunity to cause us to recognize greater is He that is in me than the thing that I face. Lord, I pray that it resonates, it marinates. Lord, it begins to cause us to, God, be stirred tonight to move towards you. That we won't run, but we'll submit under the mighty hand of God. We give you praise. And with that, we'll declare that we are
blessed, highly favored.